Glynis Crook. Early morning swimming in the cold water of our tidal pools has become quite a craze here in Cape Town. It's said to have excellent benefits for one's physical and mental health, improving circulation, reducing inflammation and decreasing stress levels, something I definitely need. And with so many of them along our coast, we are spoiled for choice. But these intertidal pools are also biodiversity hotspots. And my guest today, writer, photographer and open water swimmer, Sihai Dowling, has written a book about the tidal pools of the Western Cape. Sihai, thanks for joining me on the program. We're going to get to the incredible biodiversity in the tidal pools in a moment, but please, can you just give me a very brief history about their origins? It was fascinating.
Well, thank you for having me on the show. It's lovely to be here. I think the history of the tidal pools in the Western Cape are particularly interesting because we look at them from the perspective of some of them originally being fish traps that were used by local fish catchers, as well as whaling stations. Well, not whaling stations so much as whaling pools. But many of them were illegally built by private individuals during times sort of in the 1900s or so, when the seashores were very rocky and quite dangerous. And they were enclosed and quite thoughtfully done, but very, very difficult to maintain because they're quite expensive. Those individuals then went on to inquire of the city whether or not they would be willing to take over the costs. In many instances, the city said yes. That isn't the full history of all of the pools, but I thought it's a curious part of the history that we've inherited from our sort of colonial ancestry in the UK. The pools of the Western Cape are emulations, really, of the coastal resorts in the UK, such as Brighton. In fact, Musenberg was known back then as the Brighton of the Cape. And then we've got other names like that of Camps Bay that was started by the landlords. So a very rich history to the tidal pools of the Western Cape.
And speaking about rich, the tidal pools are more than just a place to swim. They're actually very rich in marine life.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these are really some of the most fantastic, safe ways of exploring the marine life along our very rich coastline. You know, everything from octopi through to otters and larger mammals exist in and around these pools, which makes them particularly special given our very close interface with the marine life and our very urban existences.
I believe that they're also a safe haven for young fish to breed.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can see the most incredible array of fish in the tidal pools if you just put on a mask and a snorkel. St. James Tidal Pool, for example, has got lots of gorgeous silver clipfishes that dart through in the sunlight when the sun is shining through and the waters are calm. Camps Bay has got much larger fish, probably due to the fact that it's larger and a deeper pool. So there's a huge array to explore and enjoy in all of these beautiful pools.
What role do they play in the whole intertidal system, ecosystem? Is it an important one?
I think so. I mean, my understanding from my research and various interviews with people more qualified than I really indicate that these are safe havens for younger species or for species to establish themselves. They provide protection from very damaging big waves, and in that way provide us with an opportunity to kind of observe the beauty that is on offer.
I read somewhere that they also help with water quality along the intertidal zone. But as you mentioned, they're excellent educational opportunity. And I can remember taking my daughter when she was little to go and look at all the sea anemones and things like that in the pool. And as you say, commune with nature.
Absolutely. I mean, I was recently asked whether or not I thought there were too many urchins in the pools, because I know which pools have got the most urchins and not. And I really think that we need to understand that these species operate independently of us. And as soon as we remove one, we then create a knock-on effect where the ecosystem is thrown out of balance. So I don't think we have too many urchins. I think we need to leave well enough alone. And I think we need to allow the species to exist as they do in the pools where they self-regulate their numbers.
Now, you've highlighted 34 of them. Are there more than that? And which is your favorite one, both for swimming and for marine life?
There are, in fact, far more than 34. These were just what I felt to be the most interesting and beautiful pools along the coastline. But there are, in fact, up to 90, all the way from the west coast around the tip of Cape Point, all the way up to the Eastern Cape. But I focused on 34 in the Western Cape for now. And in our second edition, we will cover all of the pools in the Western Cape. My favourite pool for marine life is probably Miller's Point. It's absolutely gorgeous, often quite quiet, and it has a slide. I mean, what more fun could you possibly have for? But the marine life is incredibly rich because it's on the edge of the kelp forest. So you've got this kind of incredibly protected area in which you can snorkel just outside of the pool, but within the pool itself, an array of seaweeds and algaes, an octopus that we know is in residence. So really quite a special pool to visit.
I think I'm certainly going to try and discover there. I must just say there are the most extraordinary photos in this book. It's called A Guide to Tidal Pools of the Western Cape. It's by my guest today, Sihai Dowling. Thanks for so much for being on the show with me. That's it for this week from me, Glynis Crook. Take care and goodbye. FMR 101.3.